Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Michael, you're on Talk Radio 1210.
Hey, Nick, how you doing today?
Good, buddy. What's going on?
Good. You know what? I have to be honest with you. I ran a company for about 20 years. I was the ops manager there. And I was actually there for about 40 years. And I can tell you, we tried. I tried to hire what you might consider your typical American. They didn't want to do the job, Nick. And we would pay. We were paying, I mean, we weren't paying $50 an hour, but, I mean, we're in Jersey here. So they were getting probably $10 over what the minimum wage was.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't find them. I could not. They wouldn't stay. They wouldn't work. We'd hire them. They'd last a week. They'd last a day. The only ones that would do the job, Nick, were the ones from Spanish or Spanish-speaking people, the ones from Colombia. Mm-hmm. We had Colombians. We had the ones from Honduras, El Salvador, some from Mexico. Those were the ones that kept our company going. The parents don't want, I don't think parents want their children going into manufacturing. They don't say to their, you know, their kids, you know what, I really want you to skip college. I want you to get a manufacturing job where you're going to come home sweaty, you're going to come home dirty. That's what I really want for you. Nick, it doesn't happen.
Yeah,
and they don't want to work.
And actually, I think, Michael, and thanks for the call, it's kind of sad. I mean, I don't, you know what all of the dynamics are for your business, but, I mean, there are these jobs out there that you do have to bust your balls and break your back, and, you know, you come home filthy, you come home exhausted, all you want to do is shower, eat dinner, crack a cold one, watch the Phils, and then drift off to sleep before your next day at work. But, I mean, some of these jobs that do pay, you said $10 above minimum wage, but there are some really good labor, grinded out, you know, blue-collar jobs that provide very good pay, that provide great benefits. And also, you know what's honestly the best part of all of this? Starting your career debt-free, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget. I mean, I don't know about you, Tony, you and I, Anna, did you finish college?
Not grad school, but I went to undergrad, yeah.
Okay. Did you end up having student debt?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, now, granted, I chose radio, so that's on me. Again, I accept it.
Yeah.
But I come out of college owing $38,000, not a lot by comparative standards to somebody that goes to Harvard and owes 250 grand. But I'm owing 38 grand, and my first radio job, Bruno, as a producer, was $6.50 an hour up in the Lehigh Valley. And a couple of my buddies were working in a for ConAgra Foods, and they're filthy all day, and they're making $30 an hour, no debt, and they're laughing at me like, dude, you went to college? You're the sucker, right? So I think it just depends on, you know, the way you look at how you want to live your life and if you want to start in the hole. I mean, doctors start in the hole. They end up doing pretty good. Yeah. That's one of the sales pitches.
When I was a kid, my passion was radio because I told you the story. I used to listen at late at night and hear all these stations from all over the country. And I tell my mom, that's what I want to do. And she says, no, at the time I was making $150 a week. Now, this is in the 60s with my uncle learning to be a laborer. I'd mix cement. I'd pull blocks up, you know, on a pulley. I was learning the trade, which was, you know, bricklaying, plastering, stucco, all that stuff, manual labor. And I'd come home shot at the end of the night. So my mom, when I told her I got a job in radio, I said, Mom, I'm going to make $75. I took a 50%? If you're making 150 and you take a job for $75
50%.
A week,
mm-hmm.
50, I took a 50% pay cut as a young punk kid. I learned to trade. I still use my abilities to do those manual things now, but I chose radio and for me, it was the right choice. Even though my mom wanted me to be a contractor, she wanted me to be an engineer and all that other stuff, I wanted to do radio. So I took the risk. I didn't have college debt when I left Temple. And so I started my own life working for $75 a week, and I moved my way up the food chain. Now, you try to do that now, you know, you're going nowhere. But if you have a college degree and your kids are musical theater majors or, you know, what are all these ridiculous degrees that people are getting right now that get you nothing.
Communication degree.
There's people, not even communication. There are opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm talking liberal arts.
Yeah.
You know, all of these FACACTA degrees that
marketing.
Don't get you Yeah. What? Yeah. In a modern day world.
Yeah. Why would you get a marketing degree and then sell advertising? I had a buddy of mine, and Stalker, you'll probably remember. You might know the name. I think I can say he's been long out of the industry. Bob Holder. He used to be a sales rep up at another competitor in the Lehigh Valley at the cluster I worked at in Allentown. And he would sit there and he would sell. I mean, he could sell anything. And he would draw up radio contracts on a piece of blank paper and just write down, all right, 50 commercials at $20 a pop here, sign there. And all these little kids coming out of college my age with marketing degrees, they couldn't even get the phone call and get the owner on the phone to set up an appointment. So to your point, I don't even know where that tangent or that rant came from. I forget, but yeah.
You know who's been monumental in bringing attention to kind of like offbeat jobs, or maybe jobs with not a lot of clout, is Mike Rowe.
He has.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I remember listening to a podcast where he was interviewing a guy who was picking worms out of the ground on like a beach in Maine and selling it as bait. And he's like, you know, most people would look at this guy and go like, what a trash decision that was. And he goes, and then I went to one of his multiple beachfront houses.
Yep.
And the guy's doing pretty well. So, you know, you might want to consider doing something like this.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly right.
Dirty jobs, man. Dirty jobs.
Yeah, dirty
jobs. Done dirt cheap, I think. I think that's one of the problems. Nobody wants to do dirty jobs done dirt cheap.
That's right.
The problem.
You're right.
We start at 6 a.m. This is...
exactly.
this is Cut 5. Nick, you played this on the Big Take, but that seemed like 37 hours ago, so we're going to play it for the late risers this morning. A person did a study on the amount of non-citizens' social security numbers issued over the past 4 years. The numbers of these are staggering. Starting in 2021, roll this off.
To reveal what's really going on. DOGE exposed our immigration asylum disaster. That was the tip of the iceberg. Now, here's the story. DOGE has found that immigration gave a work authorization document to illegals just 5 months after they filed for asylum. That document allowed them to work while they waited to hear whether their asylum request had been accepted or denied. So they could work as an illegal, knowing it would take years before their case was heard. The Immigration Department mailed them a Social Security number. No interview, no proof of identity. Just put it in the mail. Here's your number. In 2021, DOGE says 270,000 new aliens were issued Social Security numbers, 590,000 in 2022, 964,000 in 2023, and 2.1 million in 24, right before Biden left office. DOGE also discovered that 1.3 million aliens are now receiving Medicaid. Millions received driver's licenses, some registered to vote, and DOGE says some actually did vote. Try and square that against Democrat claims that Musk is destroying Social Security and cutting Medicaid. He's not destroying. He's weeding out people who don't qualify. Who is really guilty of misinformation in this case? It is not Elon Musk.
So let's think about that. You open up the southern border. You flood the country with illegals. You pay them. They're compensated. They're not taxed. They get Medicare, all the medical benefits, and Social Security numbers, and some of them end up voting. And if you add up 4 million, well, that might just actually give you an election. Remember in 2020, Trump lost a couple of swing states by 10,000 votes. I think Arizona was 10,000 votes. You could presumably flip a state from one party to the other and win a swing state to get you to the magic number of 270 by simply giving out Social Security numbers to undocumented illegal aliens. We talked about it, right? The seven swing states, the population percentage increase over the last 4 years, Biden administration, the deep state, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, they were all in on it. It was all a setup to get to swing things in their favor. And why did we see those percentages in Michigan, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona? Well, I'll be in Pennsylvania. Well, those are the seven battleground states. That's not coincidence.
270,000 in 2021, 590,000 in 2022, 964,000 in 2023, and 2.1 million in 2024.
That's so embarrassing.
Exactly. And the story, the follow-up on that is, now remember, the IRS commissioner packed it in a couple of weeks ago. Now the acting IRS commissioner, a woman by the name of Melanie Melanie Krauss.
I saw that she's out,
informed her staff that she's leaving the agency amid internal chaos and the exodus of several senior IRS officials. This is why she left. She doesn't want to provide sensitive taxpayer data to federal immigration authorities to help the Trump administration locate and deport undocumented immigrants.
Yep.
So here it is. The head of the IRS temporarily now doesn't want to help get the people who have fake Social Security numbers and are stealing money from the government. They're working for it, a lot of them, but they don't pay into the taxes. Those Social Security numbers mean nothing other than they can go out and buy stuff under false pretenses. And a lot of these people pay the bills. I'm not saying they're all criminals.
No.
But if you're in the country illegally and you have a Social Security number, and then the agency that's supposed to audit my taxes and your taxes and everybody else's taxes doesn't want to cooperate with the federal government, because the IRS isn't the federal government. That's the thing people forget. The IRS is a separate agency. They just collect taxes for the federal government. And it pains me to say this, because I told you my son and daughter-in-law work for the IRS.
Right, right. And you said they basically might get doged, correct?
Yes. Every day they're I talk to my son, my daughter-in-law, and, you know, they're waiting. They don't know. They could be next to go.
Yesterday, during the House Judiciary Committee on a hearing on continued pattern of government surveillance of U.S. citizens, Jim Jordan called out the FBI under Joe Biden and all the surveilling that it did on U.S. citizens. Roll this.
Chairman of the full committee, Mr. Jordan, for his
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act allows government to conduct surveillance of foreigners, as the title would suggest, outside of the United States for intelligence information. Okay, that's all well and good. We like that. They get that information, they bring in this giant database, this what I call the haystack of information, and then they do queries, which is a fancy word for search. And they search Americans, American phone numbers, names, email addresses. They search America. They call it queries, but a query is a fancy name. Query is a fancy name for search. 3 million times they did it in 2021. And here's the kicker. The FBI, when they did all these searches, didn't even follow their own rules. You don't have to take our word for it. The Inspector General said 278,000 times the FBI didn't even follow their rules for conducting these searches on Americans, not foreigners. So the ranking member's right. We got 12 months from now when we get a chance to go at this issue again. We were close last time. We lost a warrant requirement in a vote 212 to 212. I'm going to do everything, and I know the chairman is, and I appreciate the ranking member's comments. We're going to do everything we can to make sure we have that warrant requirement. Here's the way it works in our country. If you're an American citizen and the government wants to go look at your stuff, they got to go to a separate equal branch of government and get a warrant. Mm-hmm. It's pretty simple. That's what we want. Plain and simple. And we were one vote away from passing it in the House. Who knows what would happen in the Senate. But I know I'm committed. I know the chairman of the subcommittee is committed, and the ranking member, I appreciate what he's done over the years in defending the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and we look forward to working with him on this issue. We need to do this to protect American citizens.
Yep, called this little old thing called search and seizure. It's kind of a big deal. And, you know, what's interesting, with all those people that they were searching, did they ever search for Thomas Matthew Crooks? Did they ever do a query on him? How about a query on Ryan Wesley Ruth? By the way, how about that? Did you see that story, Tony? That
yes.
Ruth
yes.
was looking
the guy,
to get...
The guy was looking for a missile launcher
yeah.
to absolutely... seriously, he wanted to blow up Donald Trump in the White House or in his limo or anywhere else. This guy... The fact that this guy was near the golf course, stalking around one of his golf courses and almost got a chance to kill Trump then... And people call this guy a hero. He's been seen with many of the high-ranking Democratic power brokers at events. Well, that one guy, the chef, who's another crumb bum guy that was one of Joe Biden's pals.
Yeah.
This guy is an absolute lunatic, and he should be not allowed anywhere near the public again. He should be locked away forever.
It is still staggering to me that he was able to be in the bushes on the next hole as Donald Trump is finishing up the last hole, heading to the tee box, And if not for the reflection off of the piece of metal on his weapon that kind of caught the eye of Secret Service, he would have been probably almost as close as Thomas Matthew Crooks was. And I think that was 140 yards away from the stage on that roof.
Crooks had a gun. This rifle. This guy had access to missile launchers, for God's sake.
This guy thought he was playing a video game, for Christ's sakes.
Former CDC director Robert Redfield was on with Chris Cuomo on News Nation talking about, so Utah was the first state to ban fluoride in tap water. Mm-hmm. And Robert Redfield and Chris Cuomo discussed that and RFK Jr.'s push to get fluoride out of tap water. Roll it.
Do you think Bobby is going about it the right way? And what caveats would you offer him?
Well, you know, my own view is, you know, he's on to something really important, which is making America healthy again. Obviously, obesity, highly processed food. I couldn't believe when I heard we spent $10 billion on sodas for kids in school. This is where I'd like to see him focus, you know, and but he's obviously got this interest in fluoride. I think, you know, I'm more interested in going after chronic disease, diabetes, hypertension. You know, sometime you get there and you want to do everything at once. And when you do everything at once, you end up not finishing anything. So I'm more an advocate to stay on the obesity, the highly processed foods. And let's let this fluoride evolve, but he's chosen it to go after it. So let's bring in NIH, CDC, EPA. Let's have an open, honest scientific discussion, see where the data is. My own instincts are that we really don't need it to be a compulsory in our drinking water, and that many jurisdictions will begin to take it out, and I don't think we'll be any worse the wear. And it'd be interesting to see in Utah, where the event was today, you know, there's 27 jurisdictions within Utah that don't have fluoride, and there's two that do have fluoride. Mm-hmm. Let's look to see what, is there any difference in the development of the children that grew up in the things that had fluoride versus not. Let science give us some data here. Kennedy has said, and I do believe him, you know, I'm an advocate for him. I do believe that he wants science to drive the issue. So let's use science
to drive the issue.
All right, thanks, Bob. There you go. Hey, more people watched it there than saw it on News Nation last night.
By the way, News Nation, Newsmax, News Blues, News Clues. Where are all these channels? One America News.
Can't find
them.
How
many stinking news channels are they?
I know.
Too many.
That is the correct answer.
That is the problem, is that there's not enough news for there to be 10 billion news channels. Uh-huh. You know, there's just not enough.
I agree.
So that way we manufacture things to happen. But what do you think about the point there?
I love that Bobby's willing to question and challenge everything under the sun.
Yeah.
Because the system's broken, it's not working, and we're a sick country, physically and mentally. But I agree with Redfield. There's bigger fish to fry. Obesity, $10 billion. I didn't know that number either. We've talked about the SNAP program with sodas. Kids should not be having soda. It's ridiculous. I'm trying to keep my girls away from Sprite. They love Sprite. They love Fanta orange soda.
Ugh.
Trying to get them away from it. They don't get it a ton, but I want them to have none. But $10 billion a year for the SNAP program for kids in schools for soda, it's got to go.
Yeah.
But again, I don't drink, and I said this before, I drink alkaline water. And let's ask the question. Anna, you've got a 200-liter mountain spring water in front of you that's so big it blocks the camera.
Yeah.
Which makes my bottle look smaller. Does anybody...
Wait, is that from Zephyr Hills down here in Florida, Zephyr Hills water?
Not this one. This one is from Trader Joe's. Refilled with the water that's in the little kitchenette down the hall.
Yeah, you got fluoride in there. There's no doubt.
Oh, I don't really care about
fluoride's big
fluoride.
In Odyssey.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, the whole... sodas being subsidized by like SNAP and stuff like that are being included in food stamps.
Yeah.
That's gone to Congress. Yep. I don't know how many times. At each time they leave it in there.
Yeah.
And part of that is because like the NCAA is paying off Coca-Cola, and it's really, really pathetic, and it's really, really sad because kids are getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting sick. And I kind of agree with the doctor and kind of like what you said before that There's bigger fish to fry. America's health is declining. I don't think fluoride is the number one issue in America. In my opinion, of all the research and stuff I like to look into, because I'm a bit of a health nut, it's overconsumption. We're just eating too much.
And before the YouTube chat corrects me and says, well, Nick, you know, there are poor parts of the country that only drink. But seriously, what percentage of Americans do you think drink tap water anymore? I mean, bottled water, like the Dasani.
Or I think a lot of people do.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah, dude.
Without the filter, though. I mean, straight out of the faucet.
Yeah, I think more than you think.
Really?
I think a lot of people. You're showing your elitism there, bud.
No. Think about this from the most basic way of water, straight out of your sink faucet.
Yeah.
Then you can put the Brita thing on it. Then you can do bottled water, like regular just spring water. Then you can do alkaline water. And again, I don't do alkaline water because it's an elitist thing. I do it for reflux to keep the acidic stuff out of my vocal cords. Yeah, with coffee and stuff like that as a broadcaster. So, I mean, what would you say? I would get maybe 10% of Americans straight. Does anybody fill up
10%?
Like a...
10%? Yeah. No, dude, it's a lot. It's way more than that.
Yeah,
you don't think probably. People are at the point now where the majority are going and buying like the big cases of cheap spring water at Sam's Club?
No.
I think
I buy mine at Publix had three for $11. I mean, I remember back in the day, you go to ShopRite, Acme, they'd run sales, three cases of 24 bottles for $9, $10. Yeah, you have to have bottled water.
Dude, 10% of America, 10% of America doesn't even drink water.
Well,
okay?
That's true. Well, Trump,
I know people that just drink soda and energy drinks, and that's it.
Not me.
Yeah, no.
No energy drinks. Like, And by the way, the water here in Southwest Florida is the worst water because most of it's from wells and there's sulfur. That's why you have to have super filtration down here. It is the worst.
Michael Vespa on the YouTube chat says, "Do a poll." I agree.
Let's do a poll.
Let's put up a poll on the YouTube chat and do with our family here. Some of them hate us, but it's fine.
here's the options, Phil. Yeah. Straight faucet with filter, bottled spring water. Alkaline water.
Nobody drinks alkaline water but you.
LeBron James does.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's why he can't win games now in the big time. That's why he tanks and falls down all the time. I think he has a combination of too much fluoride and too much alkaline.
Yeah.
And he's a mess. LeBron James got to go.
I'll be willing to bet the top two votes, the vote getters, will be the faucet with the filter and then traditional big spring water bottles.
I would say 90% of this audience still drinks tap water. Tap water.
You are so wrong.
Okay.
Well, in Philly, but in Philly and New York, the water is good up there, believe it or not. But then you come to places like Florida,
where you
have to have filtration.
It's gross.
You have to have filtration here, or you can't drink the water. Like here in this condo, I have a filter on my sink water. Then I have a filter going into my refrigerator, which has its own filter. So I'm like, really good vodka. It's like triple filtered.
Triple filtered and quadruple boosted. Tony Bruno.
I was just going to say, his water is triple bagged. It's a triple bagger.
Let me grab David real quick. David, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Listen to y'all down here in South Carolina.
Nice.
Hey, y'all was talking about these jobs things, and I'll tell you, my dad taught me something wise a long time ago. I was going to be an archaeology major, and he looked at me like I was crazy. He goes, name one job in that. I said, well, I can't. He goes, exactly. So you need to get a degree in something that actually has jobs in it. And these schools are really doing a disservice, I think, in even having some of these degrees when they know these kids aren't going to have a job when they get out, but they're going to be $100,000 or more in debt and nothing to show for it. Yep. Why have them, right?
So what did you end up doing then?
Well, a little somewhat related, geology, which I got a job with state government doing that, so I do geology now, which there are a lot of jobs in. A friend of mine, his daughter wanted to be an art major. He said, look, that's a hobby. That's not a job.
Right.
You get a real job, and that could be your hobby on the side, but you don't get... You're not wasting my money doing that.
So. Yeah, only Hunter Biden makes successful art careers.
Yeah, exactly.
David, quick question. How did down there in South Carolina, how did you hear about us?
Oh, I listened to y'all we got family up in Allentown, Easton.
Nice.
So I listened to y'all when I come out there.
Okay.
So.
Good.
Love it, David. Thanks, buddy.
I grew up
every summer.
I grew up in Easton, baby. There he is. The ABE.
Thank you, dude.
Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton.
We can't drink out of a hose. You know, growing up in Philly, you drank out of a hose in the summer when you were a kid. You know, and even though if it tasted a little metallic, you didn't give a crap back then. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
So it's very evenly split right now on the what do you drink? Tap water with no filter, bottled water, faucet with filter. It's 36% right now, tap water, no filter, 33% bottled water, faucet with filter is at 31. So it's like
you got to have a faucet with filter. Yeah, I don't care where your water comes from.
Yeah.
No, it's an interesting poll because this is the nation has spoken. Tap water, no filter. That means most of the people saying that live in the northeast part of the United States, where even though there's a lot of bad things going on, the water in Philadelphia, the water in New York, that's why the pizza and the bagels taste so good up there.
It's true.
That's why they can't duplicate it down here in Southwest Florida.
That's what I've heard.
Because the water quality isn't good enough to make good bread and pizza.
Yep.
That's a fact, Jack.
Yeah. YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. Please make sure you're hitting the like and subscribe buttons while you're there, but also vote on the poll. What water do you drink? YouTube.com/@1210WPHD.
My buddy Joe.
By the way, 916ers. Anna drinks liberal tears. Is that true, Anna? Do you drink liberal tears?
I sure do.
Too salty. It's not too salty for me.
My buddy Joe says I drink straight from the garden hose.
Yeah, that's what somebody on the YouTube chat said, too.
Savage.
Nothing wrong. Dude, on a hot day, nothing wrong with
it. We used to do that at football.
Oh, of course.
At football practice, right out of the hose.
Delicious growth water.
Crunchy, just the way I like it.
Shape says we grew up drinking tap water and running after the Mosquito Man truck.
Remember that?
You'd be in a campground or outside at night, and then they'd come around spraying all the mosquitoes and bugs.
Yeah,
DDT. Yeah. Not the great wrestling move, DDT, which Nick Kale saw first performed at WrestleMania. Which one was that?
That was WrestleMania 4.
300 million.
88.
Yeah. All right, we really have to break out.
All right, Kale and company, we are back after this on a Wednesday morning.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
We'll get back to maybe a cut or two. We've got all the bells and whistles with movies and music, but right now, let's get caught up in the world of news and maybe some stories we haven't discussed. Time for a Big Three at 9:36.
It's the Big Three and Nine on Kale and Company.
Sad news out of the Dominican Republic. At least 113 people are dead after a Dominican Republic nightclub roof collapsed. At least 113 people are known to have died when the roof of a DR nightclub collapsed on Tuesday morning, and 155 transfers have been taken to local hospitals. Juan Manuel Mendez, a director of the country's Emergency Operations Center, said in a Wednesday press conference that the Dominican Navy and Fire Service were involved in rescue efforts. Among the victims in the deadly collapse include two former MLB players, Octavio Dotel and Tony Enrique Blanco Cabrera, as well as Nelsie Cruz, the governor of the Monte Cristi province.
Yeah, I remember, Tony, do you remember Octavio Dotel? I think he was a bullpen closer guy, maybe a setup man.
I mean, it's not that long. I mean, these guys were in the majors not that long ago. So these guys were not elderly. These were guys who were partying. 200, as Anna mentioned, 255 people were injured. But this is a tragedy. I mean, this is,
it's really
we've
sad.
Seen these deck collapses.
Yeah.
But this was a concrete deck on the roof of a nightclub.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, how many people were up there? I mean, they had to be way, way overloaded. Dotel was 51 years old. He spent five seasons of his outstanding major league career, I think, with the Astros and other teams. But Octavio Dotel, born in 73, dead at the age of 51. One of the several individuals who collapsed in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, I'm looking at Dotel's career, early 2000s with the Astros. He was a Met, a Yankee, a Brave. Then he bounced around for all the way up until 2013. So he was only out of baseball for just over a decade.
Mm-hmm. An update. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
An update on the hot Illinois teacher pedophile that we were talking about, I think, last week. Teacher Christina Formella left new husband totally in the dark about twisted relationship with a 15-year-old student. The Illinois teacher accused of molesting a 15-year-old student claimed to cops that the boy was, quote, a stalker, and that her new husband knew all about his so-called obsession with her.
By the way,
after she was arrested.
That's stalker, not stalker.
Not Greg Stalker. Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, sorry. Stalker, not stalker. Yeah. But Christina Formella's ex-college baseball player spouse said he was totally in the dark about the boy. Formella, 30, of the Chicago suburb of Downers Grove, tried to play off the allegations that she had a months-long relationship with the teen, which he said culminated in them having sex in a classroom as a boy obsessed with a teacher because she's good looking. Throughout
her- Hot for Teacher. I mean, that song has spawned so many, many, many. Except when we were kids, we didn't have hot teachers. I had nuns.
Me neither.
Wow.
Yeah.
So nobody on this show had a hot teacher on it. Were you ever attracted to a male teacher when you were in high school?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
You ever
Right.
I didn't do it. Just from afar, I was just like, yeah. But,
like, you had a crush on him.
Yeah,
Mr. O'Leary.
Yeah, Mr. O'Leary was kind of cute. Yeah.
Young,
we'll still have hot for teacher. Still have hot for teacher in today's musical history.
Yep.
Yeah. It's crazy because when I think back about it, I'm like, wow, he's like so old and he was probably like 28.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, Russell Brand believes he could also face criminal charges in the U.S. after being charged with rape and sexual assault in the U.K. Russell Brand believes he could face criminal charges in the U.S. amid a civil sexual assault case after being charged in the U.K. by police following allegations that he raped and sexually assaulted multiple women.
What's the deal? Now, I don't pay attention. I saw this as well. I actually watched the clip of him where he's actually even in favor in regards to defending himself, that he thinks statute of limitations on rape shouldn't expire. That if you allegedly did whatever the victim is saying you did, there shouldn't be a time period to which they can bring action. Mm-hmm. Which is like, okay, well then maybe he really didn't do this. But then I watched his video. He's been sober for 22 years, and he's still that off?
He's a weird
dude.
These charges are 25 years old, by the way. I'm not saying that they're not true. I'm not saying any of that. I have no idea. But he admitted to, he was a heroin addict. He was a junkie. He was a sex addict.
Mm-hmm.
So he
self-admitted.
He admitted to all of those things. Again, not excusing it, but these charges are not new charges. They're 25 years old.
Right.
Yeah. On Friday, April 4th, Metro Police confirmed Brand, 49, had been charged with one count of rape, one count of indecent assault, one count of oral rape, and two counts of sexual assault following an investigation by detectives that began in 2023. The charges relate to four women. The comedian and actor will appear at Westminster Magistrates Court in London on May 2nd. Mm. He's also a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. So,
is he a badass?
Yeah, a little
really?
Bit. But he's also possibly a rapist.
Take a class? You took a class with him?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. I just know that
this guy has been all over the place, though, politically. I mean, he started out as far left, and then he came to the center, and then he went a little right. And so now, like, everybody dislikes him.
You know? Yeah.
People loved him, and then they hated him, and then they love him again.
True.
And now they're like, hey, we have no time for you. Get out. Put him in jail.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
might happen.
Not good. That's Kale & Company News Live.
All right. Thank you very much, Anna.
So, I don't know if you guys saw this. Stephen A. Smith has been saying that he's going to run for president.
There could be a big take coming tomorrow on this being part of the big take.
This is all hype, right? Because News Nation did a news package on it.
I don't know.
You don't know?
We'll see. I mean, what do you got, Jasmine Crockett?
I mean,
Jasmine Crockett,
Stephen A. Smith. Really, that's who the Democrats are going to trot out.
You don't think it's going to be Newsom?
No,
despite all dead. The
no,
really.
I think Shapiro is probably the front runner.
Mm. Roll this.
And guess what? Stephen A. Smith made a little bit of news today when he said he is seriously thinking about running for president of the United States. This is him on stage at the National Association of Broadcasters.
Unfortunately, over the last few weeks, I've had no choice but to get a bit more serious about it. I've been approached by people on Capitol Hill. I've been approached by people who are elected officials in office, whether it's governors or mayors or what have you, and people have legitimately and seriously asked me about that. I have no desire to be a politician. My life is pretty well. But I've decided I'm no longer going to close that door. I'm going to keep my options open. I'm going to entertain the possibility. And if it comes in 2020, late 2026, 2027, where I look at this country, and I think it's an absolute mess, and there's legitimate reason to believe, whether it's via exploratory committees or anything else, that I indeed would have a legitimate shot to win the presidency of the United States, I am not going to rule it out, and I'm not playing. I just think that it's a mess right now. I'm not scared. There's a lot that I have to learn. I am no aficionado, make no mistake about it. But damn it, let me hunker down for 2 or 3 months. I'll know the issues. And once that happens, then imagining me on a debate stage with these people, these politicians, this is what I do for a living. And if for no other reason than to stand on the debate stage with tens of millions of people watching, where I get to sit back and talk about what you've been doing as politicians to literally dissipate and disintegrate the quality of America before our very eyes because of your own selfishness. Me having an opportunity to do that, that is what I mean when I say I will eat them alive. I am not a politician. I don't have a political record for them to lean on. They all do. Which means I get to look at your record and what you've done and challenge whether you can legitimately say, not just with the cameras rolling, but in front of my face, that you actually operated on behalf of what was in the best interest of all of America. Who's going to pull that off in front of my face? Good luck with that.
YouTube chat is amazing right now, by the way.
I will tell you this.
YouTube.com/at1210WBHD. That's all I'm going to say.
Look, he already has his new contract from ESPN. I thought that the whole political dabbling was a financial ploy to leverage more money from Bristol. He got it. So now, is it authentic that he, and he's all over the place. One day he's a centrist. One day he's liberal. One day he's Sean Hannity's buddy on Fox News. Then he's with Cuomo. He says one thing on ESPN. He says something different on the Patrick Bet David podcast. So I don't know. Maybe he's a fraud, or maybe he's just like every other politician and is full of crap. So I will say this.
Well, he can never be interviewed. He can never be interviewed by what's her name? Laura Ingraham, because there's no way she would let him go on that long without interrupting him. I mean, how long was that clip?
I know. And it's honestly amazing that Hannity lets him speak as long.
True.
As
that's a good point.
But exactly.
I do think they are pretty good friends from what I've gathered. That being said, I mean, Jasmine Crockett, Mayor Pete, J.B. Pritzker, Andy, nobody would know me if I walked into this studio right now, Bashir. That's the Democrats.
Tim Walz.
Yeah.
I mean, last time I checked, YouTube audience, there was a guy not in politics 11 years ago that walked down that escalator. I'm just saying, crazier things have happened. Just saying.
But remember, he doesn't only just do the ESPN stuff. He has his own separate show where he gets the big guests. So this guy works like 20 hours a day.
Yep.
But he's blowing up right now. I remember when ESPN first hired him and then fired him after his nighttime TV show bombed. Mm-hmm. And then he came out to L.A. and worked at Fox Sports Radio where I was. And mm-hmm. I've known Stephen A. for decades. But this guy is really blowing up right now. And everybody's listening to him.
Yep.
Because he speaks from the heart. And now, do I think he's going to run for president? No, I don't think he is at all. This is all good publicity.
It's great publicity.
And he gets on all these major shows, and everybody listens to him because he's articulate, and he makes a lot of good points.
Democrats in Congress have a 21% approval rating, 26% favorability rating nationwide. It's not a matter of whether he really is going to. The question is, if he does he have a puncher's chance? I would say yes, if he runs on what he claims he would run on, and that's being a centrist to moderate Democrat. If he tries to do the whole progressive left-wing stuff, no shot.
Yep.
No shot. Kale and Company, final moments coming up next with Anna and Tony and Greg.
We saw Trump spoke to a bunch of coal miners yesterday.
Oh, we do.
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Coming up next.
Plus the movies and the music. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app. And now, the morning mystery movie clip on Kale and Company, Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Through and looked at all sorts of different types of administrations. And
pick it, mine. Come on up. I'm on the third floor. Hurry before someone calls the cops.
Come in, John. You can just stay a minute.
And have a drink. Anything alcoholic will do. Just one drink and I'll be on my way. What is it that couldn't wait, John?
I'm just an untalented old has-been.
Were you ever famous?
No.
Then how can you be a has-been?
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Once again today, a pair of Fandango movie codes to see The Amateur from 20th Century Studios. It is in theaters and IMAX this Friday, April 11th, rated R, The Amateur, an all-new espionage thriller from 20th Century Studios, opening up nationwide this Friday. Caller 12-855-839-1210. Pair of passes to go see that movie. From the movies to the music with Phil Almquist and what occurred today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. History. On Kale and Company.
Hey, April 9th. We celebrate the birthday of Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, who's 48, and Kevin Martin from Candlebox, who's 56. Heavenly birthday shouts to Carl Perkins. Singles include West End Girls by the Pet Shop Boys in 84, Crying in the Rain by Whitesnake in 87, Heaven by Bryan Adams in 85, My Love by Paul McCartney and Wings in 75, and Black Coffee in Bed by Squeeze in 82. Albums include Hammered by Motorhead in 2002, Shadow Light by Dokken in 97, and Gutter Flower by the Goo Goo Dolls in 2002. Also in 2005, Fleetwood Mac announced that they fired Lindsey Buckingham. In 97, Soundgarden announced their breakup. In 2004, Weird Al's parents are found dead of accidental carbon monoxide poisoning. In 79, Supertramp's Breakfast in America is certified gold. In 73, Queen play their first show since signing with EMI Records. And in 69, King Crimson play their debut show. But lastly, since I'm taking a tour of the White House on Saturday, assuming I'll get bumped by some tariff delegation, in 94, Pearl Jam visits the White House where they push for reform to rein in Ticketmaster. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton asked the band for help to craft an official statement regarding Kurt Cobain's death. For Kale. Oh, is that true? Yes, that's true.
Wow.
Kale and Company, I'm Phil Almquist.
Wow.
The only two things that can slow down Phil are tariffs and
bingo hand job.
Exactly right.
Whoa.
All right.
That'll never die.
Bruno. Figured he'd like that. All right. Coming up next, we have one last story to get to, and I think you'll like this one. It is a controversial restaurant offer.
Yeah.
And it's a certain percentage discount for certain individuals.
Uh-oh.
This could really fire up a certain demographic on TikTok, and we could be talking about that as early as tomorrow on the Cut Sheet after we give you this story, if they haven't got wind of it already. Kale and Company, 10 o'clock hour, next.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Trump signed an executive order for the coal industry, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He gave a little speech about this with coal miners behind him. I'm sure a lot of them were from Pennsylvania. Roll this. 13, Phil. Sorry about that. There we go.
So the energy workers and the coal miners in the area that I'm standing on, and that's a lot of weight on this platform, so I don't know what's going to happen. I hope it's structurally designed for you guys. I don't know. But we have just really well-deserving, great American patriots, and it's such an honor to be here and making such a big move, such a bold move in energy. Because, you know, for years, people would just bemoan this industry and decimate the industry for absolutely no reason. Because with modern technology and all of the other things that we do, it's one of the great, great forms of energy. That's why other countries, leading countries, are using it, some exclusively.
So yesterday he signed a series of executive orders aimed at boosting the struggling coal industry. Under the four orders, Trump uses his emergency authority to allow some older coal-fired power plants set for retirement to keep producing electricity to meet rising U.S. power demands amid growth in data centers, artificial intelligence, and electric cars.
Yeah, you wonder why Trump did so well this past election and how he's done well the last handful of years. You look at the Republican Party, it's become the party of the working class, the blue-collar people, while the Democrats, you know, they cater to the Ivy Leagues and the coastal elites and the fringe communities out there, you know, you look at his stance on energy in its entirety. I will say this, and this might not be a popular opinion.
Uh-oh.
But that's fine, because I give you what's on top of my mind. I have not noticed. I saw a little dip in, I know coal's different than blah, blah, blah. Gas prices in my area are back on the uptick again. I don't know if anybody else has noticed that, just in the general conversation of energy, but my gas prices in the Bluebell area have gone back up. So I'm just.
What are we looking at per gallon?
Where are they now?
$3.29. They were down as low as
here in Florida they fluctuate. Sometimes, you know, it depends on the day of the week down here, cuz I'll see gas like for $2.87 one day, and then the next day it's up, you know. I think it's based on weekends and when they know more people will be traveling. So they're trying to collect, but gas, the oil prices have gone down.
Yeah, 11 bucks a barrel. Prices. Yeah, 76 down to 65 was the last I saw a day or so ago.
But California, nothing ever goes down. I mean, they just got rid of 800 people working at the Chevron refinery out there. California's a mess. Prices never go down. They keep going up, and they can't blame price gouging. It's because of Gavin Newsom.
Looking at some of the YouTube chatter here, Michael Vespa says he's all for $2.95. Susie Loves Jeff says, I just paid $3.06. Dave in South Carolina, who called earlier, he's on the YouTube chat now. He says $2.65 there in South Carolina.
Ooh, that's nice.
Yeah, I believe that in South Carolina. Yeah. I'm assuming $2.87.
But I paid $2.71 at BJ's because I have a BJ's card.
Me too.
And, you know, you have to go to BJ's down here.
Yeah, great prices.
Anna and Tony.
Or Sam's Club.
Love the BJ's.
We love BJ's. Yeah.
Bruno and Anna.
Who doesn't?
BJ's are a Florida thing.
Yeah.
On the other front, though, with this coal conversation, we talked about these jobs, and we had people that called in that said, I couldn't get people to take these jobs. If the coal industry starts to thrive again with coal workers, do you think the young generation would take a coal gig if it paid the right price?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
No.
No. No. No. I mean, look, these jobs go back to what Anna said in, I don't know, hour 97 of the show about Mike Rowe's dirty job. I mean, these are dirty jobs.
Yeah.
You know, you get your hands dirty. There's health implications.
And they're dangerous. Yeah. Dangerous,
very
dirty jobs.
Yeah. It's also a cultural thing, too.
It is.
Like, if you're from maybe kind of a blue-collar, more rural, or like Appalachia, perhaps, that would be more, people would be more open to that. But if you're from, like, where I'm from.
Yeah.
Like San Diego? Probably not.
But Joe Biden, I mean, Joe Biden was a coal miner, and his grandpa and
grandpop
was a bad dude. He went to the coal mines, and Joe was digging for anthracite coal back in his early days.
He spent
2 years up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. I've been in more coal mines than Joe Biden when I go up to Scranton.
Serious, think about it.
Speaking of Joe Biden.
I know.
Speaking of Joe Biden, it's almost like Tony knows where I'm going next. Trump addressed.
I'm more on the. How do they do it? What do they do?
Yeah, we're on the same wavelength, Tony, which might be a good thing. Yeah,
my wife's a Philly girl.
Might actually be a bad thing. Cut 14. Joe Biden did everything in his power to abolish the American coal industry. Trump said this.
For 4 long years, Joe Biden and congressional Democrats tried to abolish the American coal industry. They did everything in their power while he was awake, which wasn't much. Shutting down dozens of coal plants, banning coal leases on federal lands, and putting thousands and thousands of coal miners out of work, destroying their lives, actually. Destroying their lives. I'll never.
The Green News scam. Oh, I tell you what, though. The hell with the actual substance of the clip. The fact that he just dunks on everybody every chance he gets.
I love that he never laughs at his own jokes, which makes it even funnier.
Well, no, because most people usually laugh for him.
He never gets high on his own supply. He just he gives jokes, and he just it's just stone cold, and it's so funny. Whereas Kamala was the opposite. She was very unfunny, and all she could do was laugh.
In the wrestling industry, Nick will get this. Trump does a good job of no selling, right?
Yes, yes. He very rarely breaks character.
Yeah, you know wrestling, right? Right, Anna?
I do.
Yeah,
I do. Yeah. Tangentially, I do. Unfortunately,
the Tampa Bay area, a lot of wrestlers live in Southwest Florida. Yes.
Yeah, I've heard about that. Some of them had sex tapes. Were you on the show when the Hogan sex tape thing broke?
No. I may as well have been because I heard about it every day for 4 years, even though it happened 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But, it was treated like it happened yesterday. Yeah. Every day was the same story.
For those who don't know, that don't listen every single second of the day, Anna Hummel was doing radio with was officially called the Bubba the Love Sponge Show.
Yeah, Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were a part of that program.
With the sponge, yeah.
That's called what? Hot Talk,
Wild West Radio.
Yeah.
Listen, when it was fun, it was really fun.
When radio was good.
But when it wasn't fun, it was really unfun.
So it was like a volatile marriage.
Yeah, it was, very
it's like OJ
toxic.
And Nicole.
Yeah,
except it's not the murder.
I still got my head on. Right. My shoulders.
Bubba didn't decapitate you, allegedly.
Yeah, no, it was not. Just metaphorically, but not.
You know, Nick, he was found not guilty.
Okay, Chief.
You know, Anna doesn't probably remember this, but you know, I was on in the Tampa market for decades, whether it was Fox, ESPN, Sporting News, and I would always go to Tampa and spend weeks there, and I loved the Tampa Bay area. But you know, they had the MJ BJ morning show. I mean, there were so many great morning radio
Ron
shows.
And Ron.
And now the sports station. Yep. And now the sports station WDAE is making a comeback. They dumped sports entirely, and now they're going to go local because people are complaining that all they play is the national shows. Like, they're complaining about Colin Cowherd and Dan Patrick, which are basically the same shows. They just talk about the Lakers, and they just talk about the Dodgers, you know, things that don't appeal to the locals. And by the way, as you know, Florida doesn't have a lot of diehards
No.
when it comes to Tampa Bay Rays fans.
Right.
The Bucs fans are excited now because they're good. Exactly.
Yeah. And then you have brand managers like Stocker who say, you know what, Sean Hannity, take a hike.
Yeah.
Mark Levin, get
imagine
out.
That. Imagine that going local. It's such a revelation.
I bring it.
Trump spent some time talking about the tariffs. This statement he said is how much money they're taking in because of tariffs. Roll this.
For those of you that want to know the tariffs, you've been hearing about tariffs. We're taking in almost $2 billion a day in tariffs. $2 billion a day. And we're doing very well.
$2 billion a day?
A little less than I make.
And we're doing very well.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, we've heard enough of Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only you.
No, I never hear enough of Trump.
I've
heard this 15 times, and I still want to hear it and hear it and hear it. I forgot what I was going to say
I was going to say, you think about this with tariffs, you think about Doge, you think about energy, all ways to bring in revenue, lower the cost for everyday Americans. I think the ultimate end goal, and I'll be that guy again.
Uh-oh.
I would love to see it. I don't think it's going to happen. The abolishing of the income tax. I mean, if they got rid of federal income tax and Uncle Sam's not taking 20, 25, 33, 40% of our money, can you imagine what a game changer that would be for all of us?
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see it. But
I want tax on Social Security removed, tax on tips, tax on... And Governor DeSantis here is talking about lowering the sales tax because we still have sales tax. And that's high for a lot of people on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
So if he lowers the sales tax, I don't know if he's going to get rid of property taxes. Yeah. I mean, that's how they fund the roads, which we fixed down here on like a lot of other states.
Yeah. But can you imagine? I mean, Democrats in the media freaking out over tariffs. Can you imagine how dumb they're going to look? Because you know they will protest this.
Yeah.
They will provide resistance. Can you imagine anybody, Jake Tapper or AOC or Jasmine Crockett, objecting to the fact of the abolishing of federal income tax? Because they too would not have to pay federal income tax, yet they'll cause a stink and create a ruckus over it because it's Trump.
Can you describe the ruckus, sir?
A loud ruckus.
This is Cut 11. Yesterday, Caroline Leavitt brought
She's
up
a rock star, by the way.
Brought
Absolute
up
a, rock star.
Yeah.
Brought up the same points that I think, Kale, you brought up on the Big Take yesterday about Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer used to love tariffs.
I think the White House listens to the program.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
No doubt about it.
Of course they do. Roll it.
In June of 1996, Nancy Pelosi spoke on the House floor. She urged her colleagues at the time to fight against the status quo trade policies that had contributed to America's trade deficit with China. In fact, Nancy Pelosi said, "How far does China have to go? How much more repression? How big a trade deficit? How many jobs have to be lost for the American workers? How much dangerous proliferation has to exist before members of this House of Representatives will say, 'I will not endorse the status quo'?" Those are the words of Nancy Pelosi in 1996. 1996. Well, President Trump is finally answering her call 27 years later. Nancy Pelosi can thank President Trump today for the 104% retaliatory tariff that will be going into effect on China. In 2007, Chuck Schumer spoke of our nation's crippling trade deficit, saying these are the kinds of records the American people don't want us to be breaking. The administration needs to move beyond words, take action now to reverse a trend that threatens our prospects for future economic growth. And Chuck Schumer said that in 2007. Finally, in 2025.
Don't worry, I covered it all for you, Caroline, in the big take yesterday. You could have just played the clips instead of reading the transcript.
Is she reading that from a binder like the other chick who couldn't know where to turn whenever she was asked a question?
Oh, that would be the original Karine Jean-Pierre.
I'm not going to get beyond that.
Yeah, she never got into anything. That was the problem.
This is cut 10. She also provided clarification on the timeline for trade negotiations with foreign nations. Roll this.
The Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, warned that some of these negotiations might take up to months, that we could be doing this through April, May, and into June. And then you had Kevin Hassett say it's going to take a lot for the president to put his signature on the line because he wants to make sure there's a good deal for America. Is the president operating on any sort of a timeline or deadline where he wants this completed by?
Well, we always move at Trump speed here at the White House, which is incredibly fast. I know you all know that from covering this White House day to day. The president likes to get things done. But he's very much focused on ensuring that these deals are good for the American worker, they are good for American manufacturing, and again, that they tackle these crippling deficits with these countries. All options are on the table for each country, but again, these are going to be tailor-made deals. They are not going to be off-the-rack deals, as the president has called it, and he has directed his entire trade team to be part of this effort. So that includes Secretary Bessent and our National Economic Director, Kevin Hassett. It also includes Secretary Lutnick, Peter Navarro, the entire trade team, Jameson Greer, who was on the Hill today. Everybody who was involved in this incredible, fair, reciprocal trade agenda will continue to be involved in negotiating these.
Basically, if you want off the rack deals, go to TJ Maxx. You're not getting them here.
Exactly right.
I do love the fact that
you get
that
the max for the minimum.
Yeah,
you get
sure.
the max for the minimum. TJ Maxx.
Yeah. You think she's better or worse than Sean Spicer?
Love
I
it.
I think she is.
I'm kidding.
Way
obviously.
Better.
Yeah. I mean, Sean Spicer was eating gum. Remember, he was like swallowing gum.
Yeah. There have been a few that have been like, I know Dawn loves what's her nuts.
Sarah Huckabee. Yeah. She's probably my favorite.
Yeah. The other one was great too.
Kaylee McEnany. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. She's good. By the way.
Yeah.
I don't love that job because I feel like no matter who the administration is, and I know everybody in the YouTube chat is going to come after me for this because I'm, you know, going after their hero. But whatever the job. Whoever the president is, your job is to lie for the president.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Protect the president.
It's a PR job.
It's a PR job where you're sitting there, everything's wonderful, everything's wonderful. Don't look over here. Don't look over here. Everything's wonderful.
We have John Brazier in here every two, three times a year, right?
Yeah. I mean,
you think John Brazier's going to come in here and badmouth the Phillies?
Well, the job is to spin for the president.
Yeah.
So it's like when you say they're good at the job, they're good at spinning.
That's exactly.
That's all it is.
It's a skill.
But you have to have a thicker skin and a bigger backbone to do it for the Republican Party. Because of the cavalry of media members that you get hit with. She gets peppered with questions far more difficult than Psaki or the binder did. Because most of the media that's gathered there is left-wing lapdogs.
Yeah, thank God for Peter Ducey, because he would give it to
her. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Ducey, Jackie Heinrich, and whatever happened to our guy from Africa that was a big pain in the ass to the Democrats?
Simon Atiba?
Where's he been?
Yeah, it's a good point.
He's gone.
I think
rogue.
He's down in Nigeria looking for his prince that owes him $6 million. I think that's he's moved on to that grift.
He's been deported.
Oh, they hated him. He was a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
That means he's doing a good job.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
The skinny story next.
Oh, yes. I forgot to tell you about that. Yeah. All right. Skinny story with video evidence.
Oh, my God.
Now,
really?
This didn't happen in America. But if it did, you know what the reaction would be.
And by the way, I want to give kudos to Tony Bruno because we have Rick Scott discussing the garlic issue. And
that's a big deal.
Yeah, there's video evidence of that. We will play all of that on the other side.
Kalen Company.
Facts only on the show.
Thank you. Very much.
This is not some far right wing conspiracy show.
That's right.
By the way, this is the Don Stensland show.
Yes. Soon to be the Dom Time show. Yeah. Dom Giordano in the bullpen. He'll be in here next as well. Stay right there.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
I hear your commercials, and all those places that you talk about, I've been there. I have more living relatives in Sicily than I do here in the United States of America. So I haven't been there in a while, but I got to go back.
Okay, join us. That'd be great.
Beautiful. All right, so we're going to get to, Dom's going to be talking about a story that we were talking about in the early portions of the second hour with China, and we'll have some comments on that. But we're going to play you this video. So I told Dom about this during the break. A controversial restaurant offering up 20% skinny discounts if their customers can fit their bodies through varying spaces. Phil Almquist, if you can, we'll let the video do the talking.
They think you tried hard enough.
I told him oatmeal.
Is that your friend?
Yeah, I told him oatmeal.
Push him.
Never met him in my life.
You need some butter.
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 Oh, my God.
Some Crisco. Oh, God. I have some vegetable oil.
Hold on, he's doing it.
Oh, he's 10%? 10%?
He's got the head.
He's going to take the whole thing.
Can I get stuck?
What?
YouTube.com/@1210.
You're good for five. She already said.
Is he good for five?
So you're good looking. Five's good.
Five, yeah.
He's
pretty narrow. He's, I got to tell you.
What a great idea, by the way. This is a great idea. Yeah.
Except in America, all snowflakes will lose their mind on TikTok.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. Actually, I think I've been to that place before.
Oh, really?
Where else have you been? Yeah, Vietnam, well, Thailand, Detroit, San Diego?
Yeah. You could definitely fit
on at least 15%, I would think.
Through the 15%?
Yeah.
For those of you who can't get to YouTube, it's like bars, right? And you have to fit through. One says 20%, 15%, 5%, or full price.
I'll be paying full
price. Yeah, they don't have snowflakes over in Thailand.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to be careful out there.
Is that in Thailand?
Careful out there for a number of reasons, boys, because if you're looking for women, sometimes they're not that. So be careful.
Oh, exactly.
Be careful of the lady boys.
Yes.
Do you know some people who have been duped before?
Yep.
And, you know, while they didn't think it was very funny, I did.
Okay.
What's the story behind this, Kale?
Thailand will give you, and there's a lot of people at the backlash on social media. I think that was via Instagram. People are losing their minds, saying it's fat phobic. It's, you know, it's all the stuff that you would hear from some fatso in Pennsylvania on TikTok crying about their weight.
But isn't there some place, maybe it's in Vegas, where if you weigh over like 350, you eat for free or something? The heart attack?
Yeah.
Heart attack thing.
Yeah. I think there's one in Texas.
Maybe it's
where a guy actually did die, I believe. So there's that.
At the restaurant?
At the restaurant.
Yeah.
Well,
do you have to sign a waiver, though? I mean, you don't want to be held liable if you're the restaurant.
So we do it. Opposite here. We reward being a grotesque beast. Yes. So
yes. Make America like Thailand.
By the way, I want to put a bow on this. Tony brought this up earlier, and Dom, you can weigh in on this. So Rick Scott released a video because garlic now is made in China or grown in China.
Right.
Okay. Did you see this?
Yeah.
All right, roll this video.
Is garlic dangerous? Well, maybe. You see, Communist China produces the majority of the world's garlic. But what Communist China doesn't tell you is exactly how they're producing it. Now, we already know that Communist China doesn't play by our rules or have Americans' best interests in mind. Communist China has a proven track record of producing unsafe goods. We can't trust its food to be safe for our families. This is especially true for garlic grown in Communist China. There are reports that shine a light on alleged disgusting practices that Communist China uses to grow garlic.
Uh-oh. What's it grown in?
Then export it to the United States.
Poop.
Reports indicate that Chinese garlic is grown using raw sewage.
Amen.
Yep.
Oh.
Possibly including human feces.
Picante. Extra, little extra.
Garlic is then bleached to make it appear whiter and cleaner to the eye after its growth in unsanitary conditions.
Oh. Well, what's worse, raw sewage or all the preservatives that aisle 7 has for all of our foods in America? I don't know the answer to that.
Get Robert Kennedy Jr. on this.
Yeah. Bobby will tell us what's good, what's bad.
So is this going to stop people from buying garlic or checking the label, I guess, right?
I would say check. Yeah, I don't want
to
be.
You were a row or getting ready for a nice dinner at home.
Right.
You're going to go to the produce aisle. Are you a little concerned about your garlic?
Well, anything from Communist China. Yeah. up and down the line. I know that takes in a lot of stuff.
Let me see the tab on your shirt.
Yeah, I didn't think. Uh-oh, that's true. Wait a minute. Yeah, we have that on YouTube.
Where's your shirt made? By the way, Nick, I know you're dying to get out of here, but we have to actually take another break.
Oh, no.
We'll find out. We'll find out what Dom has up on the other side.
All right. Stay tuned, Kaelin Company. Bonus edition with Dawn Stensland Show. Technically, Dom is next. Stay right there.
It's Kaelin Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
First, we have Mexico mocking us for our trank issue in Kensington. And now we have China mocking us. Dom, we are the punching bag of other big nations in spoof form.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if this, if the Trump people are going to use this to rally people around China now when they give up the idea of making iPhones here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the Super Bowl. China. This other stuff will fade away, but this is going to go on big time. And I think any person, Nick, legitimately says, I'm glad Trump's there now. This has been coming for 40 or 50 years.
Yep, and it's coming to a head now. You talked to two big ones. I mean, this is 2-1 seeds reaching the national championship, and it's going down to the wire.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we have Gordon Chang on today, who we talked about. He is the guy inside China. But today, too, the story just came out. The Trump people put it out. They had the worldwide military athletes game in Wuhan, and all these people got sick and it was covered up. Mm-hmm. Now it's COVID. And this was well before we knew about COVID. It was like a mile away from the lab there. Mm-hmm. So once again, this is the threat. This is the real stuff. If Trump can step up on this, this will be an historic presidency.
Yep.
What did you think of the video? Like, I know you're going to get into it, but what did you think of the video?
I think
it's not wrong.
I think, you know what? Yeah. I would say this, Greg. You know what? The Chinese are much better at parody. The Russians, it's brutal.
Yeah.
When Trump ran the first time, they said we're going to have miners, and they misspelled it, walking down to Marconi Plaza to protest Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
They were bad. The Chinese are pretty skilled. Yeah. I don't know if they're paying Americans or what they're doing. Mm-hmm. These are pretty good parodies, and the Mexicans are great. Well, showing Kensington.
The SNL in Italy is better than the SNL in America.
Tony, did you see the video? The parody video?
Oh, yeah. The fat shaming?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fat shaming.
Yes.
All right, Bruno, we're going to get out of here. Dom's up next. Thank you so much. We'll have you again on Friday, I believe.
Woohoo!
Right?
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you.
Tony, Bruno.
As Joe Biden once said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed right now.
That's right. And then he would say something like this.
All right. God save the queen, man.
Exactly.
Man. Yes.
Bruno Friday, Sean Farish tomorrow. Anna, great work. We'll
Thank
see you.
You
again tomorrow. Dom is up next. Keep it right here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Start your day with Kaelin Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.